Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome once again to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dudes on Hockey, brought to you by Purple Haze Beer.
Oh, yeah.
The most delicious wheat beer.
You've had, that's a beer?
Dude, that's a great beer.
Never had it.
Yeah, I'm going to do a different product every week, because I know you really enjoy that.
Yes, I really do. Especially since we're not getting paid at all.
No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think in the off season, the listeners want to know what we enjoy. And I'm telling you.
Right.
Purple Haze is good.
Yeah.
I can't believe you haven't had it.
I haven't. It's one of those things, I guess I'll have to put that on my to-do list, dude.
Well, if I had a Purple Haze, I would crack one open right now. I'd give myself one, and we would toast to the re-signing of Mr. Brent Burns.
That's right. The big news of the week. Thank you, hockey gods, for something to talk about.
Can you even call it a re-signing? Because he hasn't even actually played a moment. I guess it's an extension, right?
It's technically an extension. And that's something we talked about right after the trade happened. We said, you know, one of the important parts of the trade is that the Sharks have exclusive negotiating rights to Brent Burns for a full year. And Doug Wilson clearly made good on that. Didn't waste his time. Signed him to a five-year extension, $28
million. $28.8
million.
$5.76 million cap hit over the life of the deal. That's pretty good chunk of change, but that's also pretty cap-friendly deal for a guy who, you know, on the Sharks, you know, a top four team in the NHL the last 2 years. I mean, Brent Burns, if he produces the way I think we expect, he's probably going to have a career year this year.
I would hope.
You know, playing alongside Dan Boyle on the power play, being a really great extended weapon. We know how much McClellan loves to kick it back to the point. We saw that with Rob Blake. We didn't have that weapon last year until we got Ian White late in the game. Burns is going to be very much like Rob Blake, but younger and faster.
I would hope so.
Right?
I would hope that too.
What would you say? I mean, I know we're not Brent Burns experts here, dude. We haven't seen him play a lot. Would you say it's fair that he's a similar player to Rob Blake?
Well, I can't even say that yet without watching a ton of games by this guy. You know, clearly when we get around Christmas, we're going to have a pretty good idea of the kind of... We know he's a converted forward, right? That's the big thing. He was a converted forward when he moved to Minnesota. Clearly, we've talked about his immense proportions. He's a huge guy.
That's the only way you could have put that?
Well, you know, I'm trying to think of something new to say. You know, so anyway, he's a big guy, and we like to, we've seen the penalty minutes. He's clearly not afraid to lay the body on people, and he's had some pretty good numbers in a defensive system with Minnesota. Jacques Lemaire was the guy that converted him to defense, so he's had some expert tutelage in that area. Sure, the size seems to be similar, but I have no idea if the playing style is yet similar. So, yeah, it's funny how sort of the coin almost turns because so many people were frustrated about, oh, Burns only got 1 year left, we gave up so much money to get him. And then some of the naysayers I noticed on, you know, blogs or you know, Puck Daddy or whatever, this signing gets announced for, as you said, I think a pretty cap friendly hit. We're going to be talking about Shea Weber a little later in the show, and I think Shea Weber's going to be making a whole lot more money than Brent Burns is going to be making. And people say, oh, well, now he has all these concussion problems. How could the Sharks sign him to this long-term deal? It's like, which is it? Do you want the guy? I mean, do you want to say the Sharks are stupid for not signing him? Or do you want to say the Sharks are stupid for signing him? Because you can't say both.
Someone would have given him $6 million plus on the open market next year. If he had a 50-point year with the Sharks, he would have got $6 million plus from someone else. This guy's an elite player. He's a good player, an all-star. You trade a lot to get him. You sign him. You're all in with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
When you traded Seto, Coyle, and the first round pick, you were all in with this guy.
Right.
You got to do it. And I applaud Doug Wilson's cojones again. We know he's not afraid to flash the big leather cojones. And
what an image that is.
Well, you know, you already said, how did you refer to Brent Burns?
I don't even remember now. Okay.
His girth or whatever.
You're going too far now, sir. This is a family podcast.
You're the one that said it. Well, speaking of leathery cojones, it's not quite as bad of a cap hit as Erhoff's in terms of the signing bonus, right? The signing bonus, this is a big deal. Dude, can you explain how that works and why no signing bonus for Burns is a good deal for the Sharks?
Well, it counts against the cap, right? Everything counts against the cap. You can't pay a player money and have it not count against the cap. So the Sharks clearly have chosen a more traditional style of contract, which is they pay the guy what they pay him, and they pay him the same amount every year. You know, this isn't an Erhoff-style contract where Erhoff is literally making $10 million this coming year, and then he's going to be making $1 million at the end of the year. So you see a lot of these guys. I'm looking at the Cap Geek numbers for the highest-paid defensemen, and you look at some of these guys that are sort of, you know, more down on the list. A lot of times they're down on the list not because they're not making a lot of money this year, but it's because they've, you know, the GMs have wrangled a way to pay them, extend the deal longer, and then pay them less.
There's some funny names on this list, dude. Go ahead and start.
Well, number one, I'm talking cap hit, not actual dollar. So right. Number one cap hit right now is Brian Campbell, which is pretty funny.
Okay.
You would think that maybe there would be that's a 7.1428. So that's a 7 1/7.
Right.
You would think that there would be a bigger cap hit than that, because $7 million isn't that big. I mean, you're talking like a lot of forwards have cap hits bigger than that. Chara is number two. We have Bouwmeester at number three, and we have Dan Boyle at number four with the 6 2/3 million cap hit for Dan Boyle. And then we have some other guys. Phaneuf, of course, the inevitable Wade Redden at number six. We have Akeem Otemenin at number seven, and Lidstrom at number eight. And those are all the defensemen whose cap hit is over $6 million this coming year. So this would put, if Burns was in this list, he would be number 10, right behind Brent Seabrook and right before Andrei Markov. So looking at this list as, well, I mean, that's how, you know, people grade themselves, is how much they're making money versus their peers. Is this number 9, number 10 slot roughly what you would expect for Brent Burns? Is that the right slot for him?
Yeah, I mean, there are some guys who are making a little bit less who you probably would say you would take over Brent Burns, you know, most notably Duncan Keith at number 12. But I mean, Keith did one of those extended deals in order to help the Blackhawks. You know, there's a lot more history there, I think, behind, right, you know, that signing. You know,
it's a 13-year deal for Duncan
Keith. Yeah. But I would say that that's pretty accurate for his age, for his productivity, and for what he would have commanded on the open market next year. I think that that's fairly comfortable. Now, if we had given him 6.5, I think that would have made me uncomfortable, I think.
Yeah.
Very much so. I mean, that,
well, for you, 5 years, yes.
Yeah, I think that would have been a difficult pill to swallow, but this is good. This is good, dude. I'm very happy that we're able to go into the season knowing that Brent Burns is going to be part of a long-term future. He is the Shark that is signed for the longest term.
Mm-hmm.
He is now going to be, you know, the new face of the Sharks, you know, because he's going to be around for the longest time. He's going to bring all his reptiles, his lizards.
That's right.
All right. Dude, the other thing that we should mention here is that this contract does have a limited no trade clause. So it is possible if the Sharks get in a position where they're heading downward fast and they decide to go in Edmonton Oilers, you know, full blown rebuild, they could move Brent Burns. And he'll be, what, 29 if that happens?
Right.
At 5.6, you know, you would think that's still pretty good for a guy who produces like he does.
Right. You look at a lot of these guys who are making the big bucks, a lot of them are older than that. Char's 34, Pronger's 36, Campbell's over 30, BX is 30, Dan Boyle's 35. So, yeah, I mean, that's a, you know,
Matthias Olin.
Matthias Olin. God. Yeah, I'm looking at
there's some funny contracts.
I'm looking at the top salaries now, which is different
than
Cap.
Tom Gilbert.
Mike Komisarek. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I mean, I think this is a good deal, and I agree with you. I think it would be hard to, if you had a bidding war for Brent Burns, it would be a miracle if you could get him for under $6 million a year, and the Sharks already locked him up.
Yeah, we've seen, I think Doug Wilson learned a lot from the Brian Campbell situation. I think when he mm-hmm. traded for Brian Campbell, he wanted to keep Brian Campbell. Mm-hmm. That was the plan. We definitely turned out better with Dan Boyle. Dan Boyle is a better player.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
But when he traded for Brian Campbell, I think he wanted to keep him. And when it went to open market and Dale Talon went bananas and mm-hmm. offered him 7.1, Doug Wilson was going to do that.
No.
You know, there was no way he was going to do that. So to not even let it get to that situation and just buy now, it's good. And I don't even think it hamstrings the Sharks too much, dude. You know, we don't know what the current cap situation is going to be in 2 years.
No.
And we don't know because the CBA is going to expire. So the Sharks at right now will have $11.7 million under the cap as it stands this year. Now, we know it'll probably go up most likely, you know, with 12 players signed. The only major thing they need to do is re-sign Couture, but he's only coming off the end of his entry-level deal.
Right.
So, we're seeing this being a problem with Drew Doughty right now, but,
right.
You know, that's really the only guy you really got to deal with, and then you got to fill out your bottom five forwards. All the D is signed, except for Justin Braun, and you're not even really sure where he fits in at the moment.
And he's still on the ELC too, isn't
right.
he?
Right. So, and you've got Greiss as an NHL...
sort of.
Backup, yeah. if you had to, they're in a pretty good situation. In 11.7, almost 12 million, you figure cap goes up, it's more like 14, 15 million. They got room to bring in people, re-sign their own guys. So it's not as bleak a cap picture as I feel like some people were painting initially, like, oh, they're in big trouble, 12 players, all that money. Well, it's a pretty good core. You've got right. your core locked up.
Right. Nobody... It's not like you have to re-sign Joe and Couture and Boyle.
Right.
Right.
You've got your core players locked up. And so that's good news, too, if the team keeps winning.
And you have a little bit of breathing room if you decide to, you know, go for the million-dollar route for the third and fourth line. Because one thing we've seen with the NFL, I think the result of that whole negotiation is the share of player salaries actually went down.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the owners had a little bit more leverage and marketing behind them than the players did. For some reason, it seemed like the public didn't really support the players making any more money. But
yeah, there was some interesting stuff that happened with that lockout, dude. I'm gonna have to read a little bit more up on it. Maybe we can talk about it next week. But some players, because of the new CBA, actually ended up being free agents that weren't expecting to be free agents.
Right.
Well, I think we saw this happen to the Raiders today, where they actually lost one of their best players. Their tight end went and signed with the Seahawks. And they were kind of caught, Al Davis with his pants down. What an image.
Yeah.
But, you know, because they weren't expecting. So it would be interesting with the CBA. I mean, could the Sharks end up being in a position where maybe, you know, players who are picked in the top 10 end up being not restricted free agents, but unrestricted. And then Couture is actually unrestricted
right.
going into next season. I mean, we don't know what the rules are going to be. That no. would be pretty far-fetched.
Yeah, that would be pretty drastic.
But maybe it's, you know, maybe they'll limit the restricted rights. It depends, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know.
Well, it's in the owner's best interest to maintain rights to players as long as possible.
Sure.
And before the current CBA, unrestricted free agency didn't even come till age 31.
Right.
And now one of the new CBA talking points was the players got in negotiating for the hard cap, the players said, okay, well, then we want the ability to be unrestricted free agents younger. And so that's why you can be a UFA at 27. So, you know, that's considered to be a player's, you know, beneficial rule. So, you know, I think of the pendulum, at least in professional sports, given the economy, seems to be swinging more towards the owners for whatever reason. So, if anything drastic happens, it would be the cap actually coming back down, I think, would be possible. So
Sharks, that wouldn't be good news for the Sharks.
No, it wouldn't, but it wouldn't be good news for a whole heck of a lot of teams.
Yeah, there's some teams who would be in big trouble.
And I think the Sharks are probably going to be in a little bit better position than a lot of teams if that were, in fact, the case or if it got stagnant. So, you know, Brent Burns, I mean, we're happy. I love the, you know, the postings on Working the Corners about Burns and the things he said and about how...
He loves it here already.
He likes it here already. He said, Dan Boyle is a great hockey player. He's one of the best in the league. I want to learn from him. It's like, could this guy say anything more perfect being in San Jose so far, I can't think of anything better.
Have you heard him be interviewed, dude? It's pretty funny.
Is it really?
He's got some personality. I mean, you know, I kind of alluded to earlier, I'm sure a lot of listeners have read the articles about how he has
like all the,
you know, all
the
these
lizards and
reptiles
stuff.
And lizards. He's kind of an odd cat, I think, you know?
Yeah.
He's an interesting guy, you know? So I think he's going to make for, you know, I could definitely see him sitting there shirtless with Joe, like doing some sort of tandem shirtless interviews. Like he seems to be kind of a character. So I think he'll probably fit in pretty well with a team that has some funny personalities in it already.
In a city that's pretty diverse and can certainly handle some funny characters. I mean, go up to San Francisco sometime or go down to Santa Cruz and walk on Friend Street and watch the kind of characters you get walking by there. So
yeah, I wonder where they took him that wowed him so much.
I don't know.
Milpitas?
Yeah.
Here's the landfill. Enjoy.
Martinez.
Wait, is that the body of Kyle Wellwood?
Oh, sorry. So bloated. Oh, wait, no, he's alive.
Dude, speaking of Kyle Wellwood,
yeah, still out there.
Segue into our next segment, which, you know, I kind of looked at the unrestricted free agent list and found about 10 players that I wanted to ask you why you think they're still unsigned, what you think their future holds in the NHL, and do you think the Sharks are interested in any of them?
Mm-hmm.
So again, we'll just start with Kyle Wellwood, dude. What do you make of this still as this continues on and on?
Well, clearly the Sharks are not interested, because if they were, he would be in the fold already. Because I don't think, I mean, we were talking about a minimum NHL deal anyway. It's not like the Sharks needed to somehow negotiate down a monster contract or something like that. So the thing with Kyle Wellwood is sort of, for me, it sort of fits into a concept that we've talked about several times here in the past couple of months, which is he's a good player and he's an NHL quality player. He has NHL caliber skills without a doubt, but he doesn't have a slot on a lot of teams. He's not good enough to be in the top six for most teams, really any team that I can think of, even a offensively stunted team, maybe even like Nashville. It would be sort of a stretch to see him in the top six. And he's not a big guy, and he's not a big physical guy. And while he may be, defensively good and all that, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to want to get a guy of that size. So he doesn't really have like a slot to fit into on a team right now. He's sort of a tweener, right? That's what people say about guys between the AHL and the NHL. He's sort of a tweener between top six and the bottom six, Kyle Wellwood. So unless maybe he can maybe get a tryout situation and wow the team, that would be the only thing I could see him picking up a job somewhere.
So you see him maybe being a tryout player. We've seen that with Ray Emery this week, agreeing to go to camp with the Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm.
Also surprising that, you know, Ray Emery, he didn't play that badly when he was in Anaheim. But, you know, it's kind of like the poison pill, dude.
Emery's
got a little bit of baggage. Kyle Wellwood has a little bit of baggage,
true,
you know?
True.
And if he was fantastic in teal, and a lot of people were really impressed, and I know we were some of those people, you know, in stretches, Kyle Wellwood with Torrey Mitchell was a really good combination.
Mm-hmm.
And then to just see him completely fizzle out like Kaiser Soze, dude, he's just gone. No one wants him. No one.
Yeah.
How about Chris Drury? What do you think the future holds for him?
There's a lot of health issues with Chris Drury. And I know that there was even some talk around the buyout that the Rangers wouldn't be able to buy him out because he would not be healthy and you can't cut a guy who's on the IR. And there was certainly talk about that. So I mean, Chris Drury is no spring chicken as far as I can see. And I think he's 35 or 36. And
that's making me feel pretty bad.
Right now. Well, for NHL, we're old men, my friend. And he's got a lot of injury history. So yeah. Chris Drury, I think, fits definitely more into the third line role. But I think that the big question is, and the other thing is, he's got a salary history, right? He's got salary baggage, which is, this is a guy that made a ton of money for a long time. And maybe, who knows, I don't know if there's been feelers or not. I mean, it's just all speculation at this point, but he might not be the kind of guy. He made $7 million for so many years. And he's probably got a nice big bank account. Why would he want to make $600,000? You know, and that may be what people are offering.
Right. In the NHL this year or not?
I'm going to say he finds somewhere. He's going to find a job someplace.
Is he going to be like a Niedermeyer situation where he catches on with someone maybe later in the season?
I think it could happen. Yeah. But Niedermeyer was more of his own choosing.
Right.
I think teams would be less likely to pick up a free agent that hasn't played all year.
But if you do that, don't those guys have to pass through. No, you know, if they come from the KHL, they have to pass through waivers. But yeah. I think if they just sign on their own, like Ray Emery last year, although did he come from the KHL too? I can't remember.
It's kind of tricky.
Yeah. How about Brian McCabe? Speaking of someone who got their payday.
Yeah.
And now he's just sitting out there by all accounts, and McCabe didn't have a bad season last year. He's been the captain of two different franchises. He sits out there. No one wants him, dude.
I suspect Brian McCabe might be the biggest surprise of the list that you're going to throw at me, because I don't understand why Brian McCabe doesn't have a job right now. Those of you who have been with us a long time, we talked to EJ Raddick about Brian McCabe once way back in the day. I don't remember EJ Raddick being particularly complimentary of Brian McCabe, saying he wasn't that great defensively. Certainly the one thing we all remember is the one year he had 70-something points, which right. is... unbelievable.
I think the thing that's surprising to me is we saw Sheldon Surrey go on the first day, mm-hmm. the guy who was in purgatory basically all last year. And, you know, wouldn't you rather have Brian McCabe over Sheldon Surrey?
I would personally. Although Sheldon Surrey may be a little bit better defensively if that's what people are looking for, but it seems like everybody's looking for defensemen right now. That's why I'm so surprised that McCabe hasn't caught on someplace.
Speaking of defensemen, kind of in the same boat, Scott Hannon.
Scott Hannon. I like Scott Hannon as a player. I always have. This guy has actually really deceptive speed, in my opinion. I've seen Patrick Marleau take him down one-on-one, and Scott Hannon just stayed right with him. Mm-hmm. And you don't see that very often in the NHL. Scott Hannon can stop on a dime, backwards, forwards. He's an excellent defensive player. Not particularly physical. Not huge, although good size. He's a little bit older too, I guess. I don't understand why he hasn't caught on. Those two, Brian McCabe and Hannon, if I was looking for a fifth defenseman or a fourth defenseman, Scott Hannon, you could do a heck of a lot worse than Scott Hannon. Let's put it that way. I mean, I'm looking at a player who was on near the top of the salary list, Michael Roosevelt. Hello. I think I'd rather have Scott Hannon than Michael Roosevelt.
How about Corey Stillman, a guy who every year seems to be traded to someone who is going to be in playoff contention or is making a push? I mean, wouldn't someone be interested in making them, Corey Stillman, their Mark Recchi? Do you think the Sharks maybe have any interest in a guy like this?
Yeah, he could be this year's Jeremy Roenick or this year's Mark Recchi. It could be. Where was he last? Florida? I can't even remember anymore.
He got traded to Carolina for a second time. Yeah. So, well, he always seems to kind of pop up.
Right.
You know, a guy who gets acquired late. I think he's in his late 30s. The guy seems to always score 20, 25 goals. He's kind of also on that tween bubble. Not really mm-hmm. true third liner, but a little bit surprising to see him not catch on with someone yet.
I could see him catch on with like a young team. Like, you know, one team that's been in my mind because you forwarded me this video is Minnesota.
Right.
And there's that video series called Becoming Wild, where you get sort of a 24/7 behind the scenes look at the Wild, which is captivating. I love it. such a great show. And
you're not being sarcastic. You are enjoying it.
I honestly love it.
We should post a link on the blog. It's good because I think the next episode is actually going to be at the draft,
right,
where we're going to see the Burns, Heatley, Seto stuff all hit the fan here.
But I mean, the first episode was all about the Houston Aeros, and I don't know if you noticed, but there was some shots with Jed Orbmeyer there.
Right.
Remember Jed Orbmeyer? You know? So, and I love that stuff. I love all that stuff. I love seeing what the players are doing and how the coaches coach and all that kind of stuff.
There's a great series on the NHL Network this year with the oil change. Mm-hmm. It was mm-hmm. about the Edmonton Oilers. Very similar. How about Nikolai Zhirdev? There's a rumor he's going to sign with the Winnipeg Jets that never has quite come to fruition. This guy also just kind of a troubled underachiever. He hasn't been able to really make it happen up to expectations anywhere he goes, dude. Is someone going to take a flyer on this guy? Is he going to end up in Russia? I mean, what
you said
think?
Take a flyer. Didn't the Flyers take a flyer?
Well, they tried. The Rangers have tried. The Blue Jackets. You know, this doesn't seem to work out.
I put him near at the bottom of the list of the players that might hang on because everybody says the same thing. He's got near elite offensive skills, and then he just stops caring. And I can't see that kind of player being one of those players that GMs are going to say, yeah, sure, come on down. You know, I mean, there's so many guys out there that really want a job bad, like Jed Orbmeyer, for instance.
Right.
Why would you want Nikolai Zhirdev and watch him play awesome for 8 games and then suck for 20?
Here's a guy who's completely kind of fallen off the NHL radar. He was a promising prospect, and now he's unwanted, is Anton Strahlman.
That's right.
Lingering out there, a guy who was very productive, I think, even 2 years ago. And then they kind of traded to replace him last year. He's completely fallen off the map. If Columbus doesn't want you back and you're a young defenseman mm-hmm. with some offensive skill and they don't want you back,
you got problems.
Yeah, there's something wrong here.
Yeah,
right?
There's something majorly wrong. Maybe they'll just go by that, because I don't think Columbus really has, you know, I don't know how bad their reputation is around the league for scouting players, but yeah, that would be a big red flag if I were watching that guy.
Chris Campoli, a player I know that you like, he got traded from Ottawa to the Chicago Blackhawks at the deadline. They walk away from his arbitration award, dude. Chris Campoli, it's been a couple weeks now, mm-hmm. right? Or at least a week. You got to figure he's got a few offers, right?
I would think so. I wonder if he's trying to hold out for that arbitration award. I mean, we got Niemi, right?
It's over. I mean, it's between the two sides. They've split sides.
I understand, but maybe Campoli is looking for those kinds of dollars, and Niemi got what, 2.75?
Oh, he's trying to get the award that was given him. I see.
Yeah, and he says, okay, that's my market value. I should be getting around that kind of money, and maybe teams aren't ready. And with Niemi got like 2.75 million. The Sharks are like, we'll give you two. And he's like, sweet. So, you know, maybe there hasn't been a knight in shining armor for Chris Campoli yet.
A player that I personally would pick to see in Teal is Jarkko Ruutu.
Yeah, yeah.
A guy I would love to see added to the mix here. He's still sitting out there, dude. And another guy from the Ducks, Brad Winchester, also sitting out there. I think mm-hmm. Ruutu's a considerably better player. Ruutu's going to be in the NHL somewhere, right?
I think so. Yeah, everybody can always use a guy like that. A guy who enthusiastically embraces his role as a disturber.
And I think he could be the Sharks' version of Rafi Torres. I really think that, you know, give him a year, give him, you know, 750, 800K, and let it go, dude. Two players that just joined this list, they were waived and then bought out by the New Jersey Devils. We've got Colin White mm-hmm. and we've got Trent Hunter. What do you make of these two guys, dude?
So Trent Hunter came over in the Ralston deal, right?
That's right.
And then they just waived him?
And they just waived
him. Like, later, Trent. They just, basically, it was just a complete dump of Brian Ralston.
That's right.
Okay.
They wanted to get rid of the salary. They did. You know, Hunter, I think, was making $2 or $3 million. He's had a lot of injury problems. But when he's healthy, he's a pretty useful third line forward, dude.
Wasn't he on like the top line of the Islanders for a while?
Well, I think you could have been at a certain point.
Perhaps.
Colin White just kind of joined Scott Hannon on the defensive defenseman pile.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the future for these guys is going to be tryouts like we saw with Dan Hynode and Matthew Dandino with the mm-hmm. Sharks? You know, do you think the Sharks are going to bring in anybody on a tryout this year? Do you see that happening?
I don't know. That's a good question. I kind of wish they would. Although, you know, do you really want to force Justin Braun down? And those guys might get some money. The difference between these two guys...
Oh, I don't think it would be D.
Hannon and White over guys like Dandino and Hynode is those guys were a couple years removed from a regular NHL job. And both White and Hannon were everyday NHL players last year.
Right. But so, clearly, you know, either they're asking too much or no one really wants
them. Where are all these jobs going? Like
They're going younger, less expensive players,
I guess.
I mean, these guys are veterans. They have made their big contracts, and now, you know, they're gonna have to come off some of their salary demands, and it seems like the people on this list seem to be unwilling to do that so far. Out of the guys that we've mentioned so far, who would you most like to see maybe show up in San Jose in training camp, either on a one-year deal or a tryout?
Let's see. I'm looking at your list again. I'm going to have to go, you know, I'm going to go nostalgia, and I'll go Scott Hannon, because I would like to see a great defensive player at the number 5 or number 6 slot. That wouldn't bother me at all. And if Braun can beat him out and take the job, then good on him and welcome to the team. And I hope he does well. I wouldn't mind to see him pushed by Scott Hannon, because Scott, I think Scott Hannon is a really, really good player. Mm-hmm. And I think the Sharks would be better to have him around.
I can tell you on NHL 11 right now on my fantastic season that I'm playing is that I don't have Justin Braun playing. I actually have Jim Vandermeer playing with Jason Demers. And so far, with my 1-7 record, it's really working out great. I wouldn't say this is a reflection of the Sharks. I think it's me. You know, I'm trying to be macho and play a skill level above my actual ability. Mm-hmm. And I refuse to step back and just play on the second level. I had to play the third. And finally, when I went 0-6-1, I said, maybe it's time to go down to the pro level. And then I won. I beat Calgary. I felt so good.
Nice,
so,
dude.
You know, I'll ratchet back up, dude. I'm sticking with Jarkko Ruotsi, who I think of the guys on this list, you know, we're pretty well set at D. I think he's the type of player that we should be looking for. Shall we wrap it up with a little Shea Weber?
Let's do that. So arbitration, the Predators filed for arbitration a long time ago, like two, three weeks ago. And I guess it's actually gone to the arbitration hearing. I saw some tweets today from, you know, insiders around the league. And the word is that he asked for 8.5 and the team asked for 4.5.
What?
Yeah. You know, it could just be posturing. It could just be, you know, okay, I'm selling this, you know, 57 Chevy, and then the guy who's going to buy it says, I'll give you $1, and the guy who's selling it says, I want $100,000. You know, it's like Pawn Stars. You watch Pawn Stars?
No.
It's a great show. Anyway, so
Look at you plugging things, dude. That's inappropriate.
It's a television show. No,
it's inappropriate. I don't think you should be plugging anything.
All right, dude.
We don't get paid a cent.
Wait. Is this me here? Are we like are we in Freaky Friday or something?
That's right.
All right. Yeah. So I guess it's the plan sort of backfired. It was sort of the way it went with the Rangers, where they wanted Callahan and Dubinsky and they arbitration, and then they signed him before the arbitration hearing, and it didn't happen with Weber. So they went to the arbitration hearing. You know, it's probably unlikely that the team was negotiating $4.5 million for Shea Weber. You know, right the 2 hours before the arbitration hearing, when they no doubt were negotiating a new contract and it didn't turn out. So it's basically the team just trying to get the most positive award for themselves. I don't know if it's going to backfire or not. We'll see. But that's the worry, right? Is that he's going to say, well, you know, the most he's going to get out of the arbitration award is a 2-year deal. Okay. And I think the team has asked for a 2-year deal. So that's the most he's going to get. In 2 years, he's going to be, I believe, an unrestricted free agent at like age 27 or 28, which is absolute prime. He's going to get absolute top dollar at that point if his career continues. You know, they're going to be in deep trouble at that point.
So going through this process, do you think that Nashville basically has just sealed the deal that these would be the last 2 years that they'll have Shea Weber?
No.
Is he going to walk?
No, I don't think that's for sure. I think that they can still salvage the situation if they want. If I were the GM, I wouldn't have dealt with it this way. In my opinion, and I think I said this to you over IM today, if you have one of the 3 or 4 best defensemen in the entire league and he's your captain, then you pay him. The end. You've already thrown your lot in. You don't get the number. You don't get one of the top 4 defensemen in the NHL just fall into your lap every single day. Look at Char. Char's making huge deal, huge bucks, and he deserves it. Give
right.
it to him.
Right.
Pay him and put him on the blue line for the next 7 years, and that's what they should do with Weber. Pay him $7 million a year and put him on the blue line for the next 7 years. Good luck. You know, get Rene. Then you can get Rene and you can get Suter next year, and then you're going to have a nice core you can build on. But if Weber goes down, then you're back to square one, baby. You're back to nothing.
I hope they blew it here, dude. I hope they completely blew it. The only way this could be worse is if the Red Wings pick him up when he goes through unrestricted free agency. It's the only way it could be worse. And honestly, if the Red Wings are in the East, I won't care. I would love to see Nashville completely bungle this because, dude, I personally think that they're completely overrated, you know, in terms of everyone showers all this praise on them. I know they've got a great, you know, minor league system, one of the highest prospect, you know, systems that they have. But if you're going to go out and treat your veteran players like this,
your captain.
Yeah, your captain. I think it's different than, you know, I know Doug Wilson took some heat from people for signing Seto and then shipping him, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a little different,
right?
Yeah. I think it's a little different when this guy is basically the face of your franchise and you kind of you treat him like garbage a little bit here, dude.
I mean, if you ask a guy in the street who's the player on the Nashville Predators, after they ask who's the Nashville Predators? Wait, they have a hockey team? They're going to say Shea Weber. I mean, who else are you going to name ahead of Shea Weber on that team?
Probably Kevin Klein.
Right. Yeah, that would be my number two. But I don't understand why they're going this way. It's not like they're going to just find another guy. So their idea is that they're going to somehow find an elite player as good as Weber and not pay him. Where does this mythical player exist?
How will you feel if in next year or in 2 years, the mm-hmm. Sharks end up in this situation with Logan Couture and they take him to arbitration and it runs the risk of alienating the player? As a fan, are you going to be irritated by that over $1 million, or are you going to say, sometimes you got to take the risk, you know?
Well, if Logan Couture is in the same position as Shea Weber is with the Predators, then yes, I would be really upset about it. I mean, if it's a situation where it's July 1st, Joe Thornton, Patrick Marleau, and Dan Boyle all sign someplace else, and all the Sharks have left is Logan Couture, it's like, yeah, sign him up. Get him in there.
Is this also a product of the unknown landscape of the new CBA? Is that why Dean Lombardi is being so gun-shy about signing Drew Doughty to some sort of monster deal?
Could be. Could be. Or maybe he's just worried about like Cody Franzen or whoever. who's like the injured guy he got from? Oh, Colin Frazier from the Oilers.
Right. Yeah. That's all he can keep talking about.
Yeah.
I just gotta file another grievance.
He's just worried about Colin Frazier dressing up as Drew Doughty and signing him to a deal.
Yeah, the Shea Weber dollars is going to be an interesting benchmark for Doughty a little bit.
I
mean, he's not in the same class
yet
as Shea Weber, but you know, I mean, if Weber gets $7 million.
Yeah.
You know, then Doughty's a lock.
I think he will, don't you?
Of course.
I think he's going to get seven.
He's going to be close. I wouldn't be surprised if it was like 6.8 or something like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling it 6.8.
Okay. I'll take the over. Because I think if there's another defenseman at his age that's going to be an unrestricted free agent, that's better. I don't know who that is.
Alexei Semenov.
Done and done.
Dude, 36 minutes, not too shabby.
Yep.
Good to see you, dude.
You too, dude.
Will there be any news to talk about next week?
I sure hope so. Maybe we can go for 50 minutes next week.
Delightful.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.